Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You could turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. While you're turning there, as you know, we have taken a little bit of a break from the book of Proverbs. It's a pretty long book, and 31 chapters. And we bounced back to the New Testament, finished our study in the book of Galatians, but we're going to be spending the next few weeks going through some more of these amazingly powerful packets of God's applicable wisdom for our lives going forward. We think about the Bible in general, you know, I'm often reminded of what Mark Twain once was famously quoted as saying. He said, "The problem with most folks isn't what they don't know, it's the things they think they know that just ain't so." And never have those words been more applicable than when it comes to the Word of God. Sometimes we see demonstrations of this in an up-close and personal way. I don't know if you've ever had your Saturday morning interrupted by well-dressed people at the door who want to discuss the end of the world with you, but I've had some encounters with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're always interesting to me because these people definitely are not lacking in zeal. But it's the classic zeal, not according to knowledge situation we're dealing with. There were two Jehovah's Witnesses who came, and they made a big point to me that their group studies the Bible in the Greek. Well, I said, "Oh, that's great. I've got a 3-year master's degree in Greek. Hold on just a sec." Ran upstairs, got my Greek Bible out of the office. And I said, "You guys study in the Greek? Well, here you go. Why don't you share with me out of the Greek?" And they immediately started, parroting their usual party line, their mistranslations of some of these passages from it. And I said, "Oh, hold on just a sec. You might want to turn that right side up next time you read it." There are some people that, obviously like to talk about the Bible, but really don't understand it. You know, one of the greatest points of misunderstanding, I think, we come to the Word, and you don't necessarily have to join a cult to get confused about the Bible, is the whole idea of what it means to be really excited in terms of our relationship with the Bible. Let's face it, there are some people you run into, and God is always showing them something new and exciting. There's other people you're going to run into when it comes to the Bible, they can barely stifle a yawn. So what's the difference? You know, what's the difference between somebody who really gets the Word of God and someone, well, maybe who's missing the point? Well, this morning in Proverbs chapter 22, we're going to get up close and personal with the fine art of getting the most out of Scripture. In a study we could call today, "What Can the Word Do for You?" We're going to see three very important ways that we can take the Bible from something that, if we're not careful, can drift in the realm of spiritual trivial pursuit, and see it transformed into one of the great highlights, not only of your day, but of your life as well. So let's pray this morning and allow the Lord, through His Word, to teach us how to get the most out of God's Word. Father, we come before You and we are so grateful that You give us such an amazing entrance into a genuine living relationship with You, not based on man's speculation, but on Your divine revelation. Lord, I pray that if we have found getting into Your Word tough sledding, if maybe we've been in Your Word so long that it just seems like yesterday's newspaper to us, I pray this would be an eye-opening encounter, not only with Your truth, but the fact that Your truth comes with its own built-in instruction manual. Help us, Lord, to be able to understand what it means to receive from You, to allow what we receive from You to allow us to relate to You better, And even more importantly, how we can take those truths and use them to refresh and encourage the lives of those around us. We commit this time in your word to you. Guide us into your truth through your spirit, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17 is where we're picking things up. And just a little catching up to speed, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17 marks a little bit of a departure from standard operating procedure as far as how the Proverbs work out. For the most part, in the verses and the chapters that we've been covering in Proverbs, we've seen kind of these quick hitters that Solomon gives to us, these bite-sized packets of chewable God's wisdom that we can get into. And you know, they have to deal with different subjects and so forth, but usually they're just a couple of lines. As we get into chapter 22 and verse 17, we're going to see that Solomon's words about different issues are going to expand a bit. He's going to give us God's truth in Proverbs form, I guess we could call in HD quality here going forth, because he's going to elaborate a little bit more than just those bite-sized bits we've talked about beforehand. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17 and following is a great example of this. There we read, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I've instructed you today, even you." Now, you know, there's an awful lot here, but notice something. When you approach the Proverbs, like a lot of Hebrew wisdom literature, whether it's the Proverbs, whether it's the Psalms, you're going to discover that there's certain structures built in that allow us to be able to, well, get a handle on the truths that God wants to communicate to us here. Notice in verses 17 and 18, we almost see, for lack of a better term, how to receive God's truth anatomically. Now, this is what I mean by that. This is a full body experience, in a sense, with the truth of God. In verse 17, the first part of the body that Solomon calls to our attention regarding God's word is this: incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Incline your ear. Now, the Bible tells us something very important about the role of God's word in our Christian life. In the book of Romans chapter 10, for instance, we are told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the fact that you believe in Jesus, the fact that you put your faith and your trust in him as your Lord and Savior, tells me you've been exposed to God's word. God uses his word to awaken our lives spiritually. You know, one of the things we really need to understand about God's word is that short of salvation itself, it is God's greatest blessing that he can give to us. In fact, you know, some people will say to me, "Boy, I'd sure like to encounter a miracle in my walk with God." You realize that the Bible is a miracle? In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we are told this: "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I like this, and we've got to sort of establish a foundation going forward to this as to why we should listen to God's word. Well, here's a great answer: because the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to get right through the superficial, right through the showy spiritual, and right down to the issues of the heart. You want to have a heart-to-heart encounter with God, you're going to find it in God's word. Now, notice it says it's living. It's living. You know, there are some people that will say, "Oh, you know, the Bible is just so dull, so boring to me." Well, you know, in the words of the great theologian Levi Lesko, if you find the Bible boring — the Bible's not boring, you're boring. You know, sometimes I run into pastors who will say, and I think with the best intentions in the world, you know, they'll say, "My job is to make the Word of God come alive to people." Well, we need to be careful with that, because the Bible says that God's Word is living. It's alive. You know, it's not a question of someone making the Bible coming alive to us that's the issue. It's us coming alive to the Bible that is really going to tell the story within our lives. And so we need to understand why we should incline our ear to the words of truth we find in the Word of God. Well, probably one of the most important and most compelling pictures of the powerful thing that we're encountering when we encounter God's Word is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. A lot of us know John 3:16, but I think a lot of us would be better served actually knowing 2 Timothy 3:16. Because there we read, "For the Word of God is living," I should say, "all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now let's take that apart for just a second. Notice it says, "all Scripture is inspired by God." The Greek word there, passa, literally means each and every one. What I want to tell you about your Bible is this. It contains no filler or additives. It is 100% the Word of God. Now, there are some people that have a hard time with that. As a matter of fact, there seems to be a trend among some people in Christian circles to buy into, you know, what I would call cafeteria Christianity. Yeah, you ever gone to one of those all-you-can-stand buffets after church, you know, and you see all the food laid out there, and people say, "Well, I'll take a little of that. Ooh, okra, I don't like that. I'm going to, you know, get something else over here." Well, some people approach their encounter with God's Word in just the same way. "Oh, you know, man, I really love the parables of Jesus. And, oh, the book of Revelation, that's really exciting stuff. Oh, you know, the stuff about, all of sin and Balsha. I don't know. Well, that's just Paul, you see. That's not. No, the Bible says, time out. It's 100% God's Word. All Scripture, literally each and every one, is inspired by God. Now, you hear the word inspired, you think, "Oh, you know, that was an inspiring message. I feel excited, you know, I feel invigorated." No, that's not what that word inspired means. In the original language, the Greek word theopneustos, it literally means God breathed. It is the very breath of God. You know, we go back to the Garden of Eden. We are told that when God made man, he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, if you were to ask a scientist today what probably the most difficult thing for science to try to take on, to try to understand, it's how you make the jump from inanimate chemicals and elements and minerals and molecules and suddenly have something that's living. I mean, we can't even define exactly what that principle is that makes something actually come alive. Well, there's nothing more powerful than that. And, you know, almost the apex of God's creative work. You know, we think God created the heavens and the earth. Boy, you look out at the heavens on a clear Arizona night, and that's pretty impressive handiwork. But there is no greater work that God ever did than bringing life from non-life, speaking life, breathing life into us. Well, that's how powerful God's Word is. You know, it doesn't, in a sense, give us physical life, although God did speak physical life into existence. But it gives us spiritual life, you see. It caused those of us who Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "We're dead in our trespasses and sins," to become alive in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God comes to do. It's pretty exciting stuff. It's theopneustos. It's God breathed. It's just as much God's Word as if you and I were standing in the presence of God, hearing him speak, and we'd actually be close enough to feel his breath as he parsed out the words. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. Catch this, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You know, you want to be equipped for any and every contingency in life. You want to be prepared for any and everything that God has created you to be and do. It's all right in here. Well, we could go on and on, but those are some great reasons to pay attention When God speaks, we ought to be listening up. And so we see right off the bat, if we want to have a proper understanding of God's word, we've got to incline our ear to it. Convicting question. What's your diet like as far as the word of God is concerned? You know, did you have a daily encounter with God's word? Do you set aside some time? It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but a daily time to read the word of God? Boy, back in the Jesus Movement days when I got saved, there used to be this poster running around. It said, 7 days without God's word makes one weak, W-E-A-K. You know, stop and think. If we fed our spiritual bodies the way we feed our physical bodies, you know what? Stop and think what poor specimens would be if we reversed the occasion. You know, sometimes people will come to this church service on a Sunday and they go, well, this is my encounter with God's word, and boy, I'm going to take it in. You know, and some people have accused me of teaching in a way where they feel like they're trying to get a drink of water out of a fire hose. You know, they're trying to take in all this stuff, and it's a little overwhelming. Well, you know, imagine if we fed our physical bodies in that same way. Imagine running into somebody at one of those all-you-can-stand buffets, and you know, you see them, they're just heaping all this food and, you know, all the deep fried stuff, and you know, their faces under the chocolate fountain and things like that, and they're just making this pig out of themselves. They got 10 plates and they're just eating away, and you know, they don't even look like they're enjoying it. They're like, oh man, I gotta take in more. You go, why eat all that food? That can't be good for you. Oh no, Sunday's my day to eat. I'm probably not gonna eat again until next Sunday, maybe Wednesday if I can work it out, but boy, I gotta take in all my calories. You know, 2,500 calories a day. Let's see. You know, I got to take in all this stuff before I eat again. You go, what in the world are you doing? But isn't that what we do sometimes with the Word of God? You got to have a daily experience with God's Word. And that's when it becomes exciting. You know, one of the, you know, there's little techniques you can use to make that happen in your life. One of the ones that I love to do is when I'm driving somewhere, you know, on the mean streets of Tucson, you know, when the traffic is, you know, those three-cycle lights and all that. By the way, as a person who grew up in Los Angeles, you people are all babies. I don't want to hear you guys complain about traffic till you've been on the 405 freeway. You know what the 405 freeway actually means? 4 or 5 hours to get wherever you're going. You know, but if you find yourself in that place where you've got like three lights to get through and stuff, like, you can get frustrated and you can get bummed out and you can, oh, you know, I just can't believe it. Snowbirds, when are they going to leave? And, you know, all this other stuff. Here's what I've found has helped me. I just keep my Bible with me. I flop it open on the passenger seat. I'll have it open like in Proverbs, you know, so that, you know, I don't end up getting honked at by somebody because I'm looking too long. But while I'm sitting there, I'll just take a quick break, and I'll just read a couple of passages from the Word. I'll be going, oh, yeah, that's good. You know, maybe you've got, you know, the Bible on your mobile listening device, or some biblical teaching in your mobile listening device. You know, that's another great way to be taking in God's Word on a regular basis. But we need to have that steady input, that diet. Incline your ear, we are told, and hear the words of the wise. Now, notice, you haven't gotten your Bible study done just by opening the Bible, just by listening to it. That's a great first step. But notice the second step here is apply your heart to my knowledge. You see, you're not done with your personal Bible study until your personal Bible study has traveled what's been called the longest 16 inches in the universe, the distance between your head and your heart. Now, we can't just know about God's Word. It's not enough until those things that we know about God's Word have gotten into our hearts and changed our lives. How do you make God's Word not just head knowledge so that we can, you know, win a game at spiritual trivial pursuit or dazzle people by explaining to them the glories of consubstantiation or something like that? How do you make the Word of God that vital living heart knowledge kind of experience? Well, maybe the best scripture I've ever read on this is found in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, we read this, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here's step one, make sure you got the static off the line. You know, don't expect your personal Bible study to be taken off if you're taking a lot of grungy, awful, you know, yunky stuff from the world. You know, it would be like getting out your reading glass and having mud all over them. What James is saying is, man, clear off the mud, clear off the muck and the mire, and then you'll be able to see God's word. Lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. I love the Old King James Version. This is why I don't teach out of the Old King James Version. The Old King James Version says, the surfeit of naughtiness. What? The surfeit of naughtiness. No, the overflow of wickedness. That's a good translation. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, let me ask you guys a survey question here this morning. How many of you would like to be blessed in what you do? Now, how many? Just show a hand. You'd like to be blessed. You know, probably came here today because you're looking for God's blessing, right? Conversely, you know, some of you don't raise your hand. Do you want to be cursed in what you do? I'm not sure you'd be lining up for that. How are we blessed in what we do? Well, here's how you do it. You receive God's word. You are not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That's how you get the word from your head to your heart. You know, a forgetful hearer. You know, there's a phenomena out there that I've observed, and I've observed it in my life. I'm sure it's true in yours as well. I call it Christian amnesia. You hear a case of Christian amnesia? You go to a church service, you hear this message. Maybe it's just the message just rocked your world. You know, maybe it was, you know, one of those messages where you felt, man, you know, this guy's reading my mail. You know, he's talking right to me here. You know, sometimes I'll be greeting people at the door after services, and they'll be, wow, you know, that message really impacted my heart. It was just there for me. Sometimes it's a double-edged sword, though. Sometimes people will come up to me after a service, and they'll kind of have their hands on their hips, and they'll be giving me a little bit of a stink eye, and they'll say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, I just don't really appreciate what you did here today. And I'll, well, what do you mean? And they'll say, well, you know, it's my first time here. My friends invited me, but you know, I'm sure they told you all about me because everything you said in that message was all about my life. And I kind of smile at them, and I say, you know, I've never met you before. I have no idea what's going on in your life. But I know somebody who does. You know, you got bigger fish to fry than me, man. God knows what's going on in your life. And that's why it's so impactful.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.